Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. This is Yashashree, the moderator for your call today. Welcome to the post-results conference call of AIA Engineering Limited. We have with us today the management team of AIA Engineering Limited. At this moment, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one. I would now like to turn the conference over to AIA Engineering management team. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. A very good evening to everyone. Warm welcome to our conference call. This is Kunal, and I have Sanjay Bhai here also on the call with us. Given its first quarter, we've discussed at length on the plans for this year on the fourth quarter call last month, month and a half ago. So we don't have a lot of updates for this quarter, but nevertheless, as usual, we'll run through the numbers, share a brief on where we stand on a macro level, and we'll open it to Q&A thereafter. We've produced about 68,000 tons in the quarter and sold about 68,000 tons of sales for this quarter, which is up from 60,000 in the first quarter last year, but clearly that quarter is not comparable because of COVID interruptions. On a sequential basis, we did about 73 in the fourth quarter. Compared to that, we did about 68 this quarter. Our realization has inched up, to about 150 plus, during this quarter, largely reflecting the inflationary pass-through that has come along. Over last two quarters, we've seen that pass-through that gets spoken of come along. For the quarter, our raw material pricing still reflects, the high raw material cost. We've seen some easing, over the month of July, but, still not material in that sense of things. So raw material pricing still continues to be volatile and high, and so is shipping. Most of the lanes where we operate, shipping costs have yet not softened, but we are very, it looks like when we speak to people that in the trade that, shipping costs should start to normalize in a few quarters' time. So given the path long and hence the realization increase to 150 plus, we've seen our revenue is at 1,064, our EBITDA is at 267 crores, and which is about 25%, as a percent of sales, and our profit after tax is at about 190 crores. These numbers are largely comparable to the fourth quarter of last year. Our other income is at 15 crores, which is largely export benefits, and which is roadstep and drawback. We've got non-operating other income of 20 crores, which is a large part of that is treasury income of about 14, and foreign exchange gain of about 6 crores. Raw material is at 44% to sales, in line with the fourth quarter. I think most other costs are comparable to the fourth quarter. Working capital is again similar to the fourth quarter, we had about 120 days. No significant change in raw material, inventory, finished goods or receivables. Tonnage breakup that we have shared in our quarterly snapshot, mining is 45,000 tons and non-mining is 22. We had a slightly slower sales in cement, but more seasonal than anything structural, just the product mix for this quarter. Our non-mining was 28 and mining was 44. So the 5,000 ton reduction largely comes from that non-mining, seasonal impact for this quarter. Our cash at the end of the quarter was 2,065 crores, up from 1,868 end of March. From a capex standpoint, investment standpoint, we continue on track for 300 crores this year. Just to recap, we are in the process of commissioning our mill lining plant, which is at 50,000 tons. We are waiting for consent to operate, and we are expecting that in August of this year, this month. So latest by this month or next, we should be commissioning that plant, which will take our rated capacity from 390,000 tons to 440. We've announced a grinding media plant in our last quarter call, which is of 80,000 tons and which will take our capacity to 520,000 tons. The grinding media plant will get commissioned in second half of FY24, total capex of approximately 250 crores. Over and above that, you know, we'll need all other capex put together over the next 2 years. We'll need another 150 crores, you know, for maintenance capex, some investment in wind and, you know, renewable energy, maintenance capex, some capacity building for pattern shop and other things that we need of. So we're looking at about a 400 crore total capex, you know, between 2 years, of which about 250 to 75 should come this year and the balance should come next year. From an overall market standpoint, shipping still, as mentioned, you know, early on, shipping still remains to be a cause of concern in terms of our current costs. But clearly, we are shifting gears to say that we're looking at growth. We're making this part of the cost conversation. When it comes to conversion from forged to chrome, obviously shipping freight becomes an additional delta that we need to pass through. And that's just something that we would wish was a little lower. You know, it would have gotten closer to pre-pandemic levels, and we are hoping that will happen in the next 2 quarters. Having said that, we remain optimistic of doing 30,000 tons of additional tonnage, you know, full year this year, and then continuing that pace of 25 to 35,000 tons each year thereafter. This is more directional. Exact numbers in terms of, we've explained our constraint in giving exact figures to model, just because many variables play into that conversion timeline, and which is where, you know, we'll be sharing near-term guidance and overall structural direction for periods going forward after that. I think that's by and large, your mining companies remain optimistic about their prospects. Commodities have done well. And our solutions for mill lining and high chrome grinding media all feed into, you know, significant material benefits for our customers, right? They're looking at increased throughput, you know, in mines for copper, for example, where that's a very valuable improvement because the quality of ore is worsening rapidly, and any inputs which can improve throughputs is very, very welcome, you know, from the customer side. Likewise, we're able to help with recovery, we're able to help with power costs, material costs, which is cost of raw material, which is cost of grinding media and mill lining, cost of reagents, all put together, we remain very, very excited about what the future holds, and we've discussed that strategy at end. We'll have Sanjay Bhai just share his summary on this, and we'll move on to Q&A thereafter.
Well, good afternoon, happy to just very quickly add to what Kunal said. Directionally, we remain absolutely on track. As the results have shown, we continue to demonstrate our ability to pass on the cost increase both in raw material as well as in freight, as it will be seen from an increase in the average realization, which is inched up to 150 plus this quarter. The margins look healthy. Even at the operating level, the EBITDAs are in the range of about 23% odd, whereas the reported EBITDA is obviously higher at about close to 25%. The CAPEX plans are on track. The work for the new grinding media facility, which we have announced with 80,000 tons, has already started. The mill liner project is actually technically commissioned, but we are waiting for the last mile approval from the local authorities, and then we should be able to flag it off. But all other work on that project is over. We remain, we continue to maintain the same guidance that we gave at the time of the FY22 results call about the growth. So in short, everything seems to be quite very much in order. The work on all the new mining opportunities is going on with full blast. And I think we should be able to achieve what we have projected. I think with this, I'll request the moderator to go ahead with the Q&A.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone and await your turn to ask a question when guided by the facilitator. If your question has been answered before your turn and you wish to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and two. You're requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Kunal and Sanjay. Congrats on our good numbers.
Thanks.
Firstly, if I look at the freight outward expenses, they have declined almost 20% quarter on quarter. So is it there some reduction in the freight, ocean freight cost, or it is...
No, that is just the export from India, because we've got a fair amount of material in transit also, right?
Yeah.
So that's just the quarterly volume of export. That reduction only reflects that. It gets built into our stock value and increase-decrease ultimately.
Okay. So there's no, at least there's no reduction in freight cost.
No. That's not reflecting shipping.
Okay. And we are seeing a lot of this, the power and fuel cost increase happening for industry per se, but we are not so much impacted so far. So anything can come up in that in future, like say any increase in power and fuel cost expected?
So we've got some amount of gas that we use for our industrial, but the large majority of our cost is grid linked to power, right? 20% of our power comes from our own captive renewables, so that's protected from inflation. You know, of our total energy, I would imagine, you know, gas is less than 15% or 10%. So that's not a material part, and the balance is, I think, the state electricity costs have not significantly gone up. There is some increase, but not comparable to other energy increases that you have seen.
Okay. And what are the realized rates for USD INR in this quarter?
Realized rate, just 1 second. Ashutosh, I'll just come back to you. I don't have it on.
No issues.
Lastly, in terms of demand side, mining side, things remain healthy. There is no change per se.
Yeah. From a demand standpoint, absolutely okay. I mean, like the only last bit for the our story is taking market share from a, you know, large pie, right? We're not linked to growing that pie, right? That's not what we are focused on or really affects our fortunes. So to that extent, market is there. There are all sorts of headwinds. I think most are getting addressed. Shipping rates is part of our process now, right? But it would be nice for that to have eased out. I think from a demand standpoint, customers remain extremely buoyant. I don't think there is any concern there.
Okay. And just one more question. We are also hearing that the transit times are coming down in terms of your ocean container transit times. So is that correct? If that is correct, in that case, should we also see some reduction in inventory going ahead over the next 3-4 quarters?
I think so. Inventory will get optimized, but too early to say that, right? I don't think it is linked to the transit time. It is linked to customers' anxiety about interruptions in the supply chain, right? The higher shipping cost also reflects that the supply chain is not back to normal, right? It's still affected in terms of delays at ports for clearances and other things, right? And making sure we have inventory there just gives them comfort that they'll not be affected by any interruption there. Absolutely, there is scope for some reduction there, but no point in factoring any of that today when still things are not optimized or not normal yet.
Okay, thanks.
The realized rate was 77.32.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Ashutosh.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sujit Jain from ASK Investment Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Kunal and Sanjay bhai. So when you talk about roughly 30,000 tons of additional volume this year, next year, this is only the grinding media, or this includes some lining material also? Because
no, it's all
you might be able to sell.
Total volume growth.
Total volume growth, including mill liners.
Yes.
Okay. And this freight and reduction in freight cost, if you can just explain a bit more, because you are saying it is not still freight cost per ton or your freight cost coming down, and you still have challenges passing it on.
Sorry, can you repeat, Sushil? I didn't get your question.
So this reduction QOQ in freight cost, if you can explain a little more, because what you sound and what you tell, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're trying to tell us is that you're still not able to fully pass on the freight cost.
No. There are three different things you're touching on. One is the reduction in freight cost, absolute reported figure between Q4 and Q1. That
right.
figure is simply what was exported in those two quarters and the shipping cost that we incurred on that export. Right? That does not reflect the export sales. Because when we export, we're billing it to our own set-down subsidiary, and that sits down as inventory over there, right? This line item is net of those adjustments. It is just what we exported and what was the cost incurred for that export. And that is not suggestive of lower cost or higher cost.
Right. So there are still challenges in terms of passing on the cost to the customer, right?
So that much is clear. That's not a lower cost. It is just reflective of the export volume in those two quarters, first point.
Right.
Second point is that over last three quarters, as you've seen, our realization has moved from 120, 30 now to 150 plus. We've been able to pass through raw material increases. We've also been able to pass through the shipping cost. Right? Where our EBITDA is coming back up to 25. I'm just comparing EBITDA, not the operational margin. I mean, in the same delta will appear over there as well. We may have done a little more in some quarters, but generally speaking, we've been able to pass through most of our costs. So that is second part of it, right? The third part, I don't think there is a large part of cost that we are eating today and we've not been able to pass through. I mean, reasonable part of it has been passed through. The third angle is, if my freight cost was $100 per ton before COVID or a normalized shipping, if that cost is $300 per ton, for a new, when I'm talking of business growth, which I'm talking of new conversions from forged to chrome, that additional cost becomes my delta over a local producer, right? If I am replacing a local producer of forged type, he's not incurring this extra shipping cost, right? So there's a cost difference between forged and chrome. There's an additional cost that is there on account of us having to ship from India to wherever that customer is, right? That's what we are saying is a cost, you know, we would like that conversion could have been faster had that cost been little lower. That's our impression now. So that's the third part linked to business growth.
So which means that eventually, when freight normalizes, your volumes can come back because your product becomes that much more competitive to the local competition.
Exactly. That's where we are saying 30,000-40,000 tons, 25,000-35,000 tons we'll add each year comes from that, right? And that was our original model, right? That was where we are saying we are a better product as compared to forge for a variety of things that we discussed, right? So put this, that. Question is, it becomes an additional deterrent today, the additional cost factor for discussion. I would be absolutely, I mean, that cost going down certainly lubricates that conversation. It allows us to, it takes that one more cost, you know, for the returns to work. Absolutely. I mean, that we would hope that as and when shipping rates normalize, our growth rates, it would get reflected in our ability to convert better.
And our OP per ton of 36 rupees, I think this is a splendid margin. When eventually disinflation or, you know, softening of inflation prices coming down happens, does that go down or this is kind of maintainable?
Look, first, I just want to clarify that internally, as we have been repeatedly telling, we don't compute all the margins per ton for the simple reason that we don't have a standard unit of measurement, in the sense that our product range is very wide and diverse. So at one end of the spectrum, you have grinding media, and then you have liners, and then you have castings, and there is a mix of things. However, having said that, freight is an add-on to the FOB price. that we charge to the customer, and that is always charged on an actual basis. So theoretically, the realization might come down if supposing the freight goes down. See, as you rightly pointed out, there is a little bit of a directional movement in the freight costs. We see they going a little bit on the southwards. Having said that, there are still pockets where we operate where things are not moving as quickly. So we will eventually, we feel that maybe in next 3 months or 6 months, you will see the freight costs really going down. At that point in time, our average realization can come down definitely, because that's a function of actual cost being added to the FOB rate at which we have firmed up a contract. However, therefore, from a margin standpoint, in an absolute terms, we'll be agnostic, for the simple reason that freight is always charged extra on an actual basis to the customer. So if you look at the percentage margin, theoretically, it may inch up a little bit as the freight costs go down and the margins remaining constant, then margin as a percentage to sales can inch up a little bit, but very marginally. So I think it is not fair and correct to take it on a per ton basis.
Right. And lastly, if you can give commentary about the three places where we have duty, that is Canada, Brazil and South Africa, in terms of volumes.
So South Africa, very little volumes. Canada also very little this quarter. I think Brazil continues. Yeah, our full year will do between 8 and 10,000 tons.
Right. Right. Sure. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you, Sujit.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amit Dixit from Edelweiss Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. And thanks for taking my question. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers.
Yeah, so the question is, if you can give a breakup between exports and domestic sales volume in this quarter. That is the first question.
Okay, and what was the second question?
Yeah, the second one is essentially that, you know, when once the mill liner plant also gets commissioned, so will there be incrementally better margins from mill liners, or how do you look at it, or will the margins be similar?
So margin, mill liner margin, you know, at the product level, there are margins are different. At a EBITDA contribution level, most margins normalize, right? In the current product mix, we have grinding media and we have a non-grinding media piece, right? So while mining liner comes up, we are still looking to ramp up our grinding media sales also. So I don't think you should look at grinding media, but the mill linings separately from a margin standpoint, right? And even at 260,000, if I add 15,000 tons of mill lining, it's not even a material margin movement, even if it was a different that sense. So I think we will not additional margin on that account.
We always love to talk about blended margins, and that is how it is. Theoretically, as Kunal explained, there would be a variation, obviously, but we continue to give odd indications about the blended margin.
Okay. So an offshoot of that question, will this mill liners, you know, now that your product portfolio would increase essentially, so would it help you to further enhance the conversion? Because, you know, now you're offering basically one more, you know, thing in the product.
Definitely. See, our strategy is that we target various mines based on different strategies within the broad focused universe of gold, copper and iron. Okay. So there are, as we have explained in the past, there are quite a few mines we approach based on the DP related or the down process related advantages that we can bring on table. There are quite a few mines we approach on the liner situation. Our whole idea is that whatever approach we take, ultimately the volumes would want to, we do a lot of cross-selling, and therefore our idea is to increase the sales of grinding media on the back of liners or vice versa. There are quite a few mines where we talk of grinding media and then also push liners. So it's all, the whole focus is, we perhaps the only company in the world who can give all these multifarious solution capabilities which we can demonstrate, and therefore The eventual idea is that while, you know, the liner market could be just about 300 or 1,000 tons, and we are talking of 40,000-50,000 tons, new 50,000 plus tons capacity that we have created, dedicated, plus the existing setup. The whole idea is that while we improve or increase the penetration on the liner side, we will definitely push the volumes through grinding media. That's the whole idea.
Just to answer your original question, our volume is also similar to our revenue breakup between 26%-27% is India versus
export.
The rest being export. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kunal sir, Sanjay sir.
Hi.
Congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is with respect to the blended realization. So basically, this quarter realization was one of the highest. How do you see the realization panning out, as it's fully captured in the price increases that we need to take, or further rupee depreciation, can be a tailwind to the realization? Where do you see this realization settling in over the next 12-24 months?
See, in our view, we believe that the current Q1-
I think so this reflects more or less most pass-throughs that have come out.
Yeah, I think-
Raw material pricing, it may not inch up significantly.
Exactly.
The only difference would be currency and product mix from here on, I mean.
Right. So it may come down, as I said, if the freight goes down or if the ferrochrome prices come down. I think we are seeing directionally a little bit of softening everywhere. So you may treat this as the peak.
Got it, sir. Got it, got it. And, secondly, with respect to the efforts, with respect to the grinding media in new geographies in Latin America, any update on that? Especially the key countries like Chile, Peru, where bulk of the volumes from copper, et cetera, can be there. So, any large surprise?
Nothing to report over last quarter.
It's all happening, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we continue to put our efforts, you know, for those markets.
Got it, sir. And, any target volume for mill lining this year and next year from the new facilities, that you can talk about?
We'll just leave it at overall 30,000 ton volume. Allow us to, you know, just execute this over this year.
Sure.
Sorry, yeah?
Got it, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir, and congratulations for a good set of numbers this quarter. So just to extend, you know, on the realization bit, now, I understand that, you know, ferrochrome prices have actually fallen by about  20-25% on a spot basis. And not to mention that, you know, other aspects like freight, et cetera, itself are softening. So would it be fair to say that in a gradual manner, this would be reflected into our realizations as we move ahead?
It is a pass-through both ways, Bhoomika. Then it cannot be, you know, one way, right? The customers have given us the pass-through when it went up. We'll have to be fair and square and, you know, pass back some of those movements. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, when we pass it on, you know, how should we, while I do understand that, you know, it's not fair to really look at on a per ton EBITDA or a per ton gross margin, given the change of mix and other aspects which come along the way. But how should one look at the margin profile? Would it, you know, remain in the 20%-23% band, or with the pass-through element of the lower cost structure, the margins will optically look better, though maybe not on your basis, in terms of per ton basis, may not really go up. Is that the way we should be thinking about?
Yeah. So, yeah, you're very right, Bhoomika, Sanjay here. You should not look at it on a per ton basis. Again, as I explained in one of the previous questions, the correct way would be to look at it as a percentage. So, you know, when percentage operating EBITDAs are around 23%, they might inch up a little bit in terms of percentages as gradually the realizations go down. But as we have always maintained, it is always also a function of product mix. So if product mix becomes better in terms of more value-added products getting added, it might, the realizations average level might not fall drastically from the present level. So I think, From a percentage standpoint, I think we should be good, and this should be regarded as quite comfortably maintainable and maybe improve a little bit.
Got it. Got it. Fair point.
Yeah.
So the other thing is in terms of the growth, volume growth, we're looking at, you know, 30 to 50,000 on an annual basis, incremental volume over the next few years. You know, as we kind of scale up in terms of our market share, you know, at what point do you think that these, you know, forged media guys will, you know, get up and say, okay, we're losing, like the Molycops of the world, that they're starting to lose market share and they start getting more aggressive in whatever manner that they can, either in terms of, you know, imposing, getting aggressive in terms of the market, in terms of market. Your views on that, sir?
Okay. So I think Bhumika, So first, let's be very honest. This whole equation is actually far more complicated than it sounds over a call. Okay. So there are multiple factors that we always face when we approach a mine. Most important part, what we believe is that given the cutting edge capability of offering this unique solution, this capability is not available with forged media players. So beyond a point, they can't compete.
Mm-hmm.
We are not sounding arrogant, but the fact remains that when they cannot directly have a apple-to-apple comparison in terms of solution capability or the product attributes that what we offer vis-a-vis what they are currently offering, there is a limit beyond which they can't go. Having said that, the fact remains that, you know, they are very close to the customer. They are there for ages. So they have that, those deep relationship. And the mining manager will always be a little, hesitant in just jumping. And that is why, you know, we are actually adopting multi-pronged approach. We believe that eventually we should be able to slowly and gradually gain a significant market share. The market will continue to grow. Aisa nahi hai ki Molycops of the world will just suddenly stop. Yes, there will be very, very stiff competition. But I think eventually we should be able to convert and obtain a decent growth in the market share for the very simple reason that we believe we have a much, much better solution to offer than a plain forged media player can offer. And that is what will differentiate us.
Sure. Point accepted. Sir, the last bit was on the cash on books. You know, we have over the years kind of accumulated a lot of cash, and again on quarter-on-quarter basis, it's kind of gone up to over 2,000 crores. Now that the uncertainty of COVID, et cetera, is behind and we're back on the growth path and likely free cash flow generation, what is our thought process on this cash on books, any dividend distribution or any other usage that you have in mind?
Nothing specific to report, Bhumika, but you know, we'll not significantly add from here. Of course, there'll be some accumulation, but over the next 2 years, because of the growth that we're seeing, that between, you know, the dividend levels we have, fixed asset and working capital may consume, you know, cash for next 2 years, right? Whether, if there's significant accumulation, obviously that mindset will change. But for now, I think we're more focused on making sure we do everything to realize, you know, the growth that we are looking ahead of us.
Got it. Great. So wish you all the best. I'll come back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Rajakumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, please,
Vijay. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I have a couple of questions. The first question is, I just want to know, any opportunities AIA is seeing from the orders that will be let go by a European competitor, Makatos?
You said.
Because because of the high power cost in Europe, some of the, competitors are, looking at, that would be an advantage for Indian companies, right? So just wanted to know, if AI is seeing any kind of upside from, market share standpoint.
So much with facilities in Europe. So we are not really, it's not a big opportunity in that sense.
Okay. And sir, for the next year, the current financial year, apart from the volume increase of 30,000 that you spoke, so what are the other levers for margin expansion?
Okay. So, you know, there are several reasons which can come in our favor. So as our solution.
No, last year.
You're talking about 2020-2023, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So what I am saying is, we have said we have not given any specific guidance about margin. We were only replying to the question that whether there should be a per ton analysis or whether it should be a percentage analysis. So what we have said that whatever we have done, 20%-23%, as a pure operating margin, that can definitely continue. We also mentioned it could be inching up a little bit from an arithmetic standpoint. So because, just for example, if we add 10 rupees as a freight to a selling price of 100 per kilo, and then that freight goes down to 5, and therefore the actual cost is also lower, and therefore, theoretically, in terms of percentage, the margin remains the same, therefore, as a percentage to sales, it can inch up. That's what I was saying. Having said that, as our product mix improves, our liner and all other product sales goes up, and we penetrate deeper into bigger mines, copper mines, gold mines, et cetera, we believe the margins have a potential to improve. Having said that, we have not given any specific guidance on margin improvement.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you, sir. And the last question, sir, I just see that the inventory as of Q1 end is about 100 crores more than what you had in Q4. So given that the raw material prices have started, you know, coming down, so is there any reason you have built up your inventory? Because we were generally thought that you would have unwind the high-cost inventory.
First, our raw material inventory buildup is very nominal. What is going up is on the finished goods side, if you see, because we are maintaining a lot of inventories across 20+ warehouses across the globe, point number one. It's just.
It's a timing issue. I don't think that there's any strategy behind it.
Yeah.
It's just a timing issue at this timing point.
No, is it to do with your upcoming mill liner project or, you know, it's just a.
Nothing to read.
Nothing really. Just a point in time, like I told you. It's nothing, no specific reason for it to go up in that sense.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next in line is Mr. Jiral Shah from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, you just talked about the total liner market is 3 lakh tons, right? So is it include rubber and composite mill liner, or it is just a metallic mill liner?
I'm sorry, we couldn't hear you. Can you repeat?
Sir, you just talked about the total mill liner market size is 3 lakh tons. So is it only a metallic mill liner, or it includes rubber and composite also?
That's a metallic market of 300,000 tons.
Okay, sir, any idea about how much would be composite or how much would be rubber mill liner?
We don't have the exact number on it.
Okay.
300,000 tons is a metal market on which we are focused on.
Okay. Sir, since you are entering into this metallic mill liner for the first time, even one of the domestic player who are into similar line of business is slowly disrupting the metallic mill liner market through the innovative product. So what is your take on that?
We are not disrupting the metal market, no. We're just replacing the metal mill liner with another metal mill liner, but it's just got a design intervention from our side. So
do you think there's any threat
doing that? We are already doing 20,000 tons of mill lining for mining each year already.
Predominantly outside India.
Yes, sir. So do you feel any threat or going ahead for the metallic mill liner as a whole?
Not really. There is a different application where metal is a superior, you know, material for the type of grinding that is required.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Siddharth Purohit from InvesQ Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, one clarification. Like in the overall scheme of things, what will be our contribution in the total cost for the miners? Basically, I want to understand if, let's say, copper producer spends $100 for producing 1 ton of copper, how much of mill liners and maybe, you know, our product is used over there? Is it significant enough? Or?
Yeah. So, Siddharth, see, there is no clear yardstick. There are very different types of operating conditions, but you can generally say that grinding media, the consumable wear parts that we are focused on will constitute 8 to 10% of the entire mining operations cost. That's a average. It can vary mine to mine, but this is the average. So that is significant. So the value add that we say that if you use our grinding media or liners, A, you can reduce the consumption by 10, 15, 20%, which would mean a direct 1 or 2% addition to your EBITDAs. That is point number one. Point number two, we bring a lot of value add apart from the savings that we are talking about. So we talk about reduction in the power cost. We talk about reduction in the cost of other reagents at the DP stage. And we talk about improvement in the throughputs by marginally, but that overall cost of ownership in the hands of the mine goes down significantly, and that is what is unique about us.
Right. So, sir, the reason I'm asking is that in the last couple of weeks we have seen sharp fall in commodity prices. So, are there cases where you are able to, like, you know, convince the customer that if you adopt our product more aggressively or maybe in a faster adaptation, then probably you can make better money as compared to your competitor?
So first, we try to be as much agnostic as possible to the commodity cycles. Having said that, in a scenario of falling commodity prices, if theoretically the margins of mines come under pressure, then they would be a little more open to look at us because we are talking about their benefit. Having said that, under any circumstances, if you talk of a solution which can bring revolutionary changes in the operating parameters of a mine, they are always open. So initially, before 7-8 years, when we were approaching mines just on a cost savings basis in the consumption of the consumable wear parts, that was not making full impact. Today, I think we have become a much more potent solution provider. We are talking about significant benefits at no extra cost, in the sense that a miner is paying me for the product that I'm supplying. I'm not asking anything extra for the service or the consulting or whatever additional value add I bring on the table. And therefore, I become very compelling. Imagine the case of a copper mine or a gold mine, where we say that we can improve your throughputs by, say, even 0.25%. Then the cost of consumable wear part becomes insignificant. You get my point?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So I think we are talking on a much, much different plane now than just on a cost savings basis, and that is what is making us feel very confident that we should be able to consistently keep on getting more and more market share over a longer time horizon.
Oh. Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, one clarification to one of the participants. You responded that the realizations you don't see changing much in this cycle despite the reduction in ferrochrome price.
The question was, can it go higher? This, what Sanjay responded was, is this looks to have factored current raw material pricing. If it goes down from here, realization will mirror that.
So the current 20% reduction in ferrochrome price is already reflected in the 160 rupees realization.
We didn't say 20%. I don't know where that number has come from. Mm-hmm. Ferrochrome is very, very volatile. Every day, every week, the price is changing. And I don't think so. We've seen cycles where things go down and go back up again. So we'll have to see this over the next 2 quarters of it price. The important thing is, in theory, in practice, in the way that our model works, it's fair and square with the customer. If it reduces on a sustainable basis, our realization will mirror that.
So the product mix angle that you guys were referring to is there any substantial product mix change which can
over quarter to over quarters we do have higher, you know, the product mix does change and that can impact. Of course, it's not impact margins by 30%, right? But you still have margin differences that accrue on account of that.
Okay. And the mill lining, is the realization equal to the average that the company has, or it's a higher priced product?
It's not right to, it is a higher priced product, but it will not help you, you know, derive the in impact of it on margin, because we also have many other higher priced products, you know, compared to the average realization, right? So it will be part of the overall mix. We are also selling other, as we grow, we will also be selling other parts nearer to the average or lower than the average, right? So the it's a sum total of all those parts that we sell.
Okay. Your these comments were helpful, because the earlier comments made a little bit of confusion. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Priyankar Biswas from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Kunal bhai and Sanjay bhai, on the great numbers. So, of course, most of my questions are answered. So, just one question from me. So, we are seeing that freight rates are softening, and I remember you had once told that at the moment, the supplies to Canada and Brazil, the freight rate was kind of an issue. Now, how much does the freight rate, according to your calculations, need to fall from present levels for you to, let's say, resume shipments to Canada? And how much
volume can answer Canada? Like that, no? I mean, it is today freight rates are at least 2x, maybe 3x of, in many lanes. Again, this is, if you, we do shipping from, you know, 100 miles to a few thousand miles, right? So, that's not a one answer. But, I mean, those shipping lanes where we sell to, it should come back. So at some places it is 2x, some places it is 3, and come back it is still even 3.5 or 4 times our original rates, right? So, or it's a more a directional answer versus objective answer, saying if it falls below 30, I get 20% more margin. I don't think there's a one-to-one correlation like that, Priyankar.
But your FY23 or FY24 does not include any contribution from Canada, right?
At this point in time, no.
Okay, so let's say if, let's say, freight costs were to hypothetically, let's say, fall by 30-40%, then is it possible that we could be starting to sell again to Canada?
Not difficult to say this time, Priyankar. I think we'll share as things evolve. There's a lot of volatility, a lot of variables that we are looking at right now. Answering one variable independent of others may not be a fair way. Which is why we're overall guiding 30,000 tons should be possible, right? So if one may come, something else may go, something else may change, right? So, I don't think that would be a fair response to Ben.
Okay, sir. That was all from my side.
Thank you.
Participants are requested to press star and one to ask a question. Reminder to participants.
I think most questions seem to have been answered. I think we can go for the close out
comments.
Yeah, comments. So thank you all. As always, Sanjay and I remain available offline for any other, you know, questions that you need answered. And we look forward to connecting after Diwali for our second quarter results. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Chorus Call conferencing services. You may please disconnect your lines now. Thank you. Have a great evening.